Welcome back, Raw Thoughts, to another episode with me, Mackenzie Tiggs, where I just jump in to sensitive subjects, talk with people, see where they've been in life. It is just kind of all of the human nature things that I love to talk about. So I appreciate you guys coming on, listening to us once again with the individuals that I have on, being vulnerable, opening up on what their life looks like, and sharing their knowledge and experience with you. I always encourage you to try to learn from everybody's experience. If it may be, you know, learning to give grace for other humans of what they've been going through, or give a little gratitude to how thankful you are in your life. So today I have Brandon. Very interesting story. I've got to hear some of it, but I would love for you to introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Brandon. I had a workplace accident. I ended up falling like 15 foot to the back of my head on concrete, feet up, head down. Was on life support for about a month after I came out of my coma and I was medically stable. I got sent out to University of Utah Hospital to do rehabilitation, learning how to tie my shoes, learning how to walk, learning how to talk, learning how to cope with life skills. It was definitely kind of a battle.
Yeah,
I mean, a lot of it was a blessing to even be alive. I was given a 1% chance of survival. And even if I did survive, I was supposed to be a vegetable for the rest of my life. You know, they were telling my family that you might want to pull the plug on him, because even if he does live, you're going to have to bathe him. You're going to have to feed him. You're going to have to clothe him. You're going to have to do all these things. And my family's like, you don't know him. He's going to fight it. And luckily, I had the family to back that up, because if they weren't there to back that up, that wouldn't be the truth.
Yeah.
So that's kind of
the
beginning of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about, you know, you are back to work where this happened.
Yep.
Tell us a little bit about what that kind of endured on your people that you were working. Like,
so my best friend, Jeremy, Ray was there as well. We call him Ray Ray. We called Jeremy JMO. Jeremy went through it really hard, because we had been like really good friends for like 2 years. And he turned around, he heard the ladder go out, and he saw me fall right down to my head. And as soon as I hit the ground, I started seizing and convulsing instantly. And he had prior EMT experience, fire experience as well. And he knew right away, okay, we got to get him to a hospital, which I'm sure most would. But, Jeremy had to take some time off of work, because he's having nightmares, and it was pretty hard for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was hard for my family as well. I mean, probably, I wouldn't say probably, but a lot harder than them, for them, because my mother has lost my little sister.
Oh, wow.
Which died of cerebral palsy and epilepsy. So.
Oh, no.
So she was sitting in the hospital watching me fight for my life while she was fighting as well, you know. And, I mean, it's just kind of hard for everybody.
Yeah.
But I had amazing support from all of them, luckily.
Yeah.
Because that type of battle isn't a one-person type of battle.
Yeah.
My boss and, well, boss and owner and his girlfriend, they flew out to Utah and spent a couple of days with me. They brought me some good shoes to work out in, and the support from all of them was really good. Mm-hmm. You know, they made shirts for me, and they gave them out to everybody at the company, because at the company I'm called the Ox, and they put on the back of it Brandon Strong, and everybody at the company wore them. So everybody there and everybody around me was very supportive.
Yeah. Just as you would be supportive of somebody else, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was just a freak accident. Like, do you remember what caused the ladder to go out?
Nope. I don't even remember driving to work that morning. Last thing that I remember was fishing the night before with a friend. And then all of a sudden I woke up in the hospital. And the first thing that I actually remember was having my tracheotomy. I pulled it out and I had it wrapped around my finger and I was spinning it. And from my memory, the doctor came in and his eyes got huge. I was like, I pulled it out. But afterwards, I found out that it was actually my stepdad, Jerry. He came in and he sees that. He's like, we need a doctor in here right now.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so.
How long had the span been of you in the coma?
So, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, you know, that I was actually in the coma.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, I mean, I was asleep, basically. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the exact timeline.
Yeah.
I think on 2 weeks I was on life support. Maybe it was the full time I was on life support, but yeah, I was in the coma for quite a while.
Yeah. Did your mom fill you in on a lot of the things, or your family fill you in? Like,
I think it's kind of hard for them to give me the exact info because then they have to relive it, you know?
But yeah.
I get a little information. Once I got out, I got some good information, but.
Yeah, it's definitely difficult because, you know, you, especially working as a paramedic, right? Nobody plans for these things and nobody plans for the hard times. It's how we deal with them. And, you know, you woke up, you went to work, you thought you were going right along with your life, and then something happens, right? And that just happened to be the ladder that came out from underneath of you and hitting your head and putting you in this position. What was it that your mom, I mean, it sounds like your mom knew that you were really strong, like that you were going to fight for this. Have you always been a fighter in your life?
Yeah, sometimes good, sometimes not very good, but yeah, yeah.
She knew you were going to be strong.
She knew I'd make it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little motherly instinct.
Yep. She knew that I wouldn't give up. She knew that it didn't matter. Like, I'm going to fight for him because she had dealt with stuff with my sister. And she just kind of knew.
Yeah.
She knew that he's going to give it his all. And I'm going to give it my all. You know. And from what I remember was at the end of life meeting, she told the doctors that, and my best friend Jeremy told my mom, because I'm a big bass fisherman in tournaments. Jeremy told my mom, I don't care if I got to strap him down to the front of the boat on a wheelchair and take his arm and help him cast the lure. He's going to be happy doing that.
Yeah.
And I think kind of the combination of the two is the reason I'm still here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
Yeah. What was the recovery like down in Utah?
Utah is amazing. Like, it's the Craig H. Nelson Rehabilitation Center. They do stroke, they do brain injury, they do spine injuries. I mean, they just do a plethora of things. And all their staff is just very supportive. They care. They're not just like, let's get you in and out. It was really good. And they have really like state-of-the-art type of stuff. The one thing that I remember the most was they have this real big treadmill that they put you on, like a harness type of system. And then there's like a camera or projector up top that puts like your feet on it. And so you got to step on each one. And then also there's like a big TV in front of it. And then you got to dodge stuff as it comes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They're really good.
It's things that I would have not thought that of that. I would have never known until you told me that.
Oh yeah, they got all types of wild stuff. When I was in St. Al's, when I came out of my coma and I wasn't walking, I went into the rehabilitation place there, like a rehab room, and it was just basically the bars, using the bars to walk a little bit. And then after all that was done and I was medically stable, they plucked all the staples out of my head. They put me on an airplane and they flew me out to Utah. And after that, I'm like, wow. Like, thank God for this place. So that place was, I mean, if it wasn't for that place, me and many others wouldn't be back in the place that we are now. Because, I mean, I follow them on Instagram. They have a wonderful Instagram page, and there's lots of people that like were in skiing accidents, and they make like special stuff for them specifically, like stuff they can sit down in and then use their arm to control which way the skis are going. That place was top tier.
And how long were you in that facility for?
So in my mind, I believe I was there for 3 months. But then at the time, I had just gotten out of the coma. I was a little kind of out of my gourd a little bit. I think the first.
Just a little bit, Brandon.
Now, when mom hears this, she's not going to be very happy that I told this on the podcast. But my first day there, I had made it downstairs in my wheelchair. I had made it downstairs on the elevator, went to the bathroom. I don't know how I went to the bathroom. I was in a wheelchair. And I get out of, well, I texted my mom and I said, I'm wheelchairing to the airport. I'm going home. And I get out of the bathroom and there's three security guards waiting on me. I'm like, what the heck?
They're not letting you get out of there.
No. Which, thank God they didn't, because I wasn't in no place to be going home.
Right. You had a lot of recovery to do. How was that m mentally to recover? I mean, there's a lot of this that is, I would say, still really kind of weighing on you. What's been the process for you?
I think so. At the time, the hardest part was seeing everybody outside doing things, fishing, catching fish, and I know I say fish a lot, but doing the things that I love. And here I am stuck in a hospital bed. Thankfully, I'm still alive. But now, currently, I think the hardest part is not knowing when I'm going to have another seizure or another incident that happens. Sorry, I feel like that's breaking out a lot.
You're good.
But just not knowing. I think a huge part of it is you just never know when you're driving to work one morning, and then all of a sudden you're in a coma. And then, I mean, because it was June 15th, 2021, that I actually had my accident. I'm still dealing with stuff. And so, like I said, I don't remember driving to work that morning. So it's like, when could that possibly happen again? And not just for me, but for anybody.
Yeah, we really don't.
You don't know.
We don't know when, especially, being on the other side of this, of responding to people like this. I mean, it's really neat to hear your whole journey of recovery because, one, it is a long recovery. I mean, you'll never go back to exactly who you were, right? Because of this. And it's interesting because, when we get on scene, we just make sure you're still alive and we keep you alive until we get you to the hospital. And then really from the hospital, we don't get to see you again. We don't get to see the progress or, any of these things. And so it is in, the back of my mind where the people that responded to you, what they're doing or how that impacted them. But it also is just a very, very, very good reminder of, just like you said, we don't know when that time is going to be.
Yeah.
We also don't know when the time is going to be for something really positive to happen in our life either, right? Like holding that fear of when is it going to happen again, or how is this going to happen again, holds so much energy in just that too. Like that probably wears on you there, you know. Are you able to do the things that you love to do before your accident?
Yeah. I mean, last weekend I just took fourth place in a 30-boat tournament.
Wow.
I still do the same job that I did. Still get on ladders. I think the hardest part for me is stepping off a roof onto the top of a ladder. Mm. That'll get me from time to time. And I'll have to ask Jeremy, you know, hey, will you hold the bottom of this ladder so that way I'm not scared?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would be scared. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. I think that's kind of it. But everything else I've been able to do.
Yeah.
To a certain extent, you know.
Yeah.
I can't stay up all night. You know, I got to make sure I'm getting my 8 hours every night. Because if I'm sleep deprived, that's when the seizures could happen. Mm. So.
And when, from getting home from recovery, what has been that progress? I mean, it sounds like the facility was super awesome, but then what's the recovery from being at home? And it sounds like you, well, I know you still have seizures, but, you know, I know there was a stint that you were having more frequently than others. Like, what has that been kind of post Utah?
So, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I don't quite understand.
You're okay. So what is the rehabilitation kind of been since you've gotten home?
Nothing really. I mean, when I got home, they had me in kind of a rehabilitation place in Boise, the St. Al's one. They had me doing physical. They had me doing speech because, I mean, my speech isn't the best, but they had me doing speech. They had me doing cognitive, and then also just, you know, your basic I don't know what you would call it, therapy. Just therapy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just making sure, are you okay? You all right? That type of therapy, those therapies. But that stopped relatively quick because I was so like, I've done all this. I've done it so much. And then I almost would lie just so that way I could be like, yeah, I want to get back to work. I want to get back to doing what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
Which almost wasn't the best for me to do. Because then later on, it kind of came back to kick me in the butt.
Yeah. Yeah. Did they do, like, was it talk therapy that they were doing with you, like going through things or?
So I did the therapy was a little different. It was a little different. It wasn't so much like me going into a therapist and explaining my issues to them. It was more them telling me, you know, and then after a few doctor's visits and speaking to, because it's all workman's comp.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's not like off my insurance to where I can say, I want this, I want that, I want this. It's all what they want, what they're willing to pay for. But I'm not trying to dog them because.
It's an issue, though.
It's an issue.
A lot of people have.
Yeah, because there was definitely a couple of therapies, not physical, not speech, not this, that, like, you know, just therapy that I could have used.
Mm-hmm.
That I never received. And then I have to, because I was on workman's comp, I wasn't able to sign up for like a regular insurance to where I can choose my own therapy.
Yeah.
So now I got to wait till October to choose that therapy.
Really?
Because then I can actually sign up through work.
Gotcha. When was your last seizure? I know you've had multiple seizures since this accident. What does that look like?
I couldn't tell you the exact day. I know June 1st is my 3 month. So, I need someone that can do some math here.
It's not me. I'm sorry. I had a thought in my head, and it's not me doing the math in my head. Okay, a different question. You had also talked about you had a seizure where you got lifelighted out.
So on September 10th, I was up on Brownlee fishing a bass tournament, and let me go into detail about it. Mm-hmm. So we went off to this one spot, and I put like four in the boat because it's a five fish tournament, and we needed one more. We needed a good one. We went up to where the good one's supposed to be, and I had that good one on, and it got right up next to the boat, and I saw it. I'm like, oh God, this is the one. And then it breaks off right at the side of the boat. And I start losing my mind. I'm, you know, angry. And my tournament partner, Jeremy, also my work partner, Jeremy, we started to leave, and I started to feel that seizure come along. And then that was it. And then he went up into a certain area that has a launch. And luckily, my sponsor, Bunker Baits, no plug there, sorry. his daughter has a form of diabetes where he has to keep a satellite phone on him.
Oh.
And so he was right there, and he goes, hey, Brandon's having a seizure. This was before my rescue or anything like that. And he goes, okay, just bring him up to the launch, and I'll call in an ambulance. Ambulance got there. I mean, this was probably like 45 minutes of a seizure going. I wasn't breathing very well. Ambulance got there. They didn't, I mean, this was kind of off of Narnia. They didn't really have much they could do for me.
Right. That's like a QRU that's there.
Yeah. So they called in a lifelight for me, and it took about an hour or so to get lifelight to get there. And then lifelight landed. They picked me up. They put, I don't know what it's called, but they put whatever it is in my throat to keep me breathing because I wasn't breathing. And then all of a sudden I woke up in the hospital, and I'm strapped down, both arms, both legs, breathing tube down my throat. And I'm like freaking out, like what's going on right now? And like I'm choking on the tube, and so I'm like pointing up, get this out of me, get this out of me. And I'm not going to say the name of the hospital, but once they pulled that out, I was like, what's going on? And they're like, because I'm strapped down, and I'm freaking out. I'm like, last thing I knew, I was fishing. And the nurse was like, dude, you're 30 years old. You need to relax.
Ooh, I don't like that.
Yeah, no one likes it. I'm like, you wake up with a tube down your throat, both arms strapped down to the bed, both legs strapped down to the bed, and a catheter, and you tell me what your mood's going to be.
Yeah, and you have no idea where you are.
Yeah, I have no idea. And my first thing that I said after, like, what's going on, was I looked up at the whiteboard, and it said the day, and that it was Tuesday. And my first thing I said was, I'm supposed to be at work. Mm. That's my third time I woke up in the hospital after seizures. And it's been like Monday or Tuesday. My first thing I say is, I'm supposed to be at work. Yeah. Yeah, you're not going to be at work for a couple of days, dude. You just had a 2-hour seizure.
Wow. Yeah, I definitely, you know, I think those comments from people are not necessarily tied to the hospitals, but that person, you know, and it's difficult. You know, I still am on the ambulance and do inner facilities. And we actually we transported somebody that we had to have in restraints, you know, a couple weeks ago. And it's not because we want to like tie them down. Most people don't. But when your brain is actually not functioning to its ability, there's a lot of just, I would say, rash movement, you know, unpurposeful movement. And it sounds like you already pulled your trach out. You know, you are the fighter for sure in a good way.
Actually, now this is from Jeremy. Somehow, after my fall, when I was convulsing and everything, I was fighting them on the way into the ambulance for them. Maybe they had seen that in the paperwork that I'm constantly fighting. And they was like, oh, we're just going to strap them down.
No. It is something in our brains when that happens, that is a response. So like going to, patients that just had a seizure, that's something for me as a paramedic that I have to already know, because it's the lack of oxygen and then it comes back. And that is something that it is also a way that we're like, oh yeah, they really did have a seizure. You'd be surprised. People fake seizures all the time to try to get medication, try to get to the hospital, all of the things.
People really fake seizures to get medication?
Oh yeah.
Like, what's the medication you're going to get off of a fake seizure?
You would be surprised. You'd be very surprised.
Let's not get into paramedic talk here. But, wow.
Right. And so that's actually something like when they would seize and they would become combative. It was like, oh, this is real. And so it's nothing that you're doing. It's not like we gotta be careful. Like, Brandon's a fighter. It's a good thing for you. You know, you've got it in your blood. Are you afraid you're going to have another seizure, like on top of the roof? You do gutters, right?
Not necessarily. Oh, yes, I do gutters, but not necessarily on top of the roof, because I get like a good 10-minute window before it actually happens. But I wouldn't say I'm afraid. Mm-hmm. I know that there's the possibility. But, I mean, I keep that thing on the dashboard, and everybody that's with me knows that I have the rescue. I think my biggest fear of it is the rescue knocks me out. Like, I'm out. I'm asleep. So then I'm afraid that one day Jeremy's going to have to drive me home, and he's going to have to knock on the door like he's done with my 2-hour seizure and say, Brandon's out in the car. I need help bringing him in the house. So I don't know. I would say I'm more afraid of being the nuisance, you know, than the actual seizure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I got time where I can go sit down, lay down, do what I need to do, but just becoming that issue and it being a almost 2-year now issue, I think that's more of what I think about.
Yeah. Has it changed your perspective on like living more too? Like, gosh, like I do have these seizures, and like, you're shaking your head, yes.
Yeah. Like, so I would say in the perspective of it changing my living is before it was just work, 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 money, 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 work, work, work. And now it's like, okay, I'm sure I was thinking the same thing when I went into work that morning, you know, and now it's like, okay, sometimes you just need some time to go do what you love and enjoy life, enjoy family, you know.
Yeah.
You got to take that time, save the money, do what you need to do. It's not all about being the biggest, you know, but it definitely has changed a lot, because you just never know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's hard because, I mean, you are still at a young age, you know, of does it get better? Does it get worse? You know, there's a lot of different things, but having that mindset of, well, this is my life and I'm going to continue to live it and not come like victim to it is amazing. And I give you props. And I hope our listeners, you know, can understand, like, I think people talk about it all the time is like, your life literally can change in a moment and you don't know when that moment is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, and it's hard because there are many times that I look at others that have had the same type of injury that I have, and then you see them that had the same outcome that they said that I was supposed to have. Mm. And then you just thank your lucky stars. You thank your blessings. You're going to be happy.
Yeah.
Because there are many that didn't survive it.
Yeah. That impacts you, huh? Do you want to share it all?
I do.
What do you want to tell people?
Just keep fighting. Keep fighting for your loved ones. Even when people are saying they won't be the same, go in there and tell them they will. Not only the people that are saying they won't be the same, but the person that says they won't be the same, say, yes, you will. Because no matter, it's like, just if they put in the effort, you will. It takes a lot of work. It's not like you wake up and everything's the same. But I mean, there's people that, I mean, I'm only on my 2 years. And I remember my doctor at Utah saying, you know, your first 2 years is kind of tells you what the rest of your outcome is going to be. And I was like, I think over the past few months, like, okay, is this what my outcome's going to be? And then there's days I'm like, no, this ain't going to be what the outcome's going to be. I've got to do something to make a difference. Mm-hmm. And I can't just live in that sorrow of the things. I mean, I can't even drive. I had to Uber here. And I know that if as long as I'm doing the things that I need to do, like hydrating and eating the right food and getting the proper sleep, I'll be able to drive again. And I'll be able, before this accident, I used to drive out to the lakes and the ponds every single day. I mean, every day after work. And I know as long as I'm putting in the work and I'm doing what I need to do, that I'll get back to that. And you can too.
Yeah.
And that goes with many things, not just brain injuries. You know, there are other like physical impairments that like spinal and things like that. You can't really, I don't know. I don't want to say you can't do nothing about it, but
yeah, but
there's ways to live with it.
Right. And I think, you know, and I think what's can be very difficult, and this is just my perspective, is that you still look the exact same, right? Like on your outside, you don't have a prosthetic, you don't have a wheelchair, you don't have, you know, any amputated arm. Like from these, you know, traumatic things that people talk about, they see a change in that person. They don't look the same. You look the same. But the state of mind and what your abilities are different.
Yeah, and that's one thing that I've noticed the most with people like me with the brain injuries that come out on, I would say, the top 80, top 90% of it. It's invisible. You can't see it. I mean, it's not just brain injuries. It's a lot of things. There's a lot of things that you can't see what's really going on underneath. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, there's lots of times, like, when I first got home, I couldn't hold conversations with people. This is the longest I've been able to hold a conversation.
You're diehard. I love it.
I mean,
yeah.
But there are lots of things that people deal with that
yeah.
you don't see.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, you listen, you know, for the listeners, I actually gave you an Uber ride. So, you know, it's like, that's how we got connected, actually. So
I got the card, by the way.
So if you don't know how hard this girl has worked for this podcast, I mean, selling homes, Uber driving, like everything that I can, I put into this podcast because it does people like you, like, the world needs to hear this, you know, the world needs to hear that even though it's invisible, even though we can't see it with our naked eye, we can see the changes. The world doesn't usually always know exactly what is in our thoughts and our minds. You know, that's our control. And that's why I preach just so heavily about asking for help and being in a positive mindset and making those positive changes, because it is so easy to get in those negative spirals. Mm-hmm. And I am somebody that I can do that too. Like I am, you know, I talk about it all the time. Like, yes, I have anxiety, I have depression, but I also take medicine for it. You know, I also, you know, like I can tell when I'm in a better mood when I work out, when I'm around the people I love, the activities that I'm doing. All of those things are your mental health. All of those things are what is keeping you in trying to combat the negative thoughts. Combating negative is with positive. And it's not saying that we're just going to sit here and say, oh, well, I'm so positive today. It's like, no, you got to do the work.
Right.
You know, and you can tell with your habits, you can tell with your drive, with your actions, that you are willing and you are going to put that work in. And that is what I commend you for, is actually putting the actions in place. Because it's not easy.
Nope. Let's just kind of do it.
Yeah. I always say, why not?
Why not?
Yep. Yeah. So for the listeners, I was Uber driving and I, you know, picked him up from his house, took him to the gas station. And, you know me, I obviously love to talk. And so we started chit chatting. I don't even know how the conversation.
Sorry, I'm going to cut you off.
You're good.
I think it was me explaining why I'm Ubering. Because a lot of times when I'm Ubering, you know, some people are like, I've had one guy literally ask, he goes, what are you getting an Uber for? You got DUI? Like, no, man. Like almost died.
Wow.
Yeah. So I think it was because of that. Like I was explaining, like, I'm Ubering because I had this accident. Now I'm having seizures.
Yeah. Yeah. And then me, I'm always intrigued. And I'm like, you should come on my podcast. And then he is an amazing follower and listens and watches them. And, yep. You know, I think the message, just talking to people today, is and why I knew, you know, I wanted to bring you on, was because people need to continue to hear that their life can change at any moment. And that is also why you want to live the life that you want. You know,
yep. Enjoy your loved ones, enjoy your friends, enjoy your hobbies before one morning you're driving to work and you've got a 1% chance of never enjoying that again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I know, mentally it's tough. Like your brain is different now, right?
Yeah. It's a lot different.
And, you know, for the listeners, it is, you know, one reason why I fight so hard for mental health is it is that invisible thing, but it doesn't mean that people aren't struggling with it. And that's why it needs to continue to be talked about and talked about and talked about and talked about, because quite frankly, not very many people are, but yet it is taking over our world.
Yeah. Yeah, I watched your live stream earlier about that.
Yeah, I was on one this morning, that's for sure.
Isn't this month like mental health?
It is.
That's why I wear the bracelet. We battle together. It's mental health.
That's awesome. It is mental health month. And when this goes out, it won't be mental health month. But I do feel, you know, and I actually, if you don't follow me on Instagram and you listen to the, you know, podcast, I encourage you to go and follow me on Instagram. I had mentioned this morning, you know, where my energy is going. And I am a one-man show, you know, doing the podcast, real estate. I'm now diving headfirst into public speaking. You know, I had made a comment about like, my voice is just going to get louder. Like, I'm not backing down. Right. I'm not backing down because I see how many people are impacted by this and need to hear it. You know how many public speakers you talk about mindset, about how to put your schedule together or cooking shows or I don't even fucking care. There's not very many people telling you like, go do self-care. That is mental health. Self-care is mental health. When you go take a bath and you're like, whoa, I feel so much better. It's because you're actually relieving your stress. And stress over time and time and time is just starts accumulating. And, you know, we have these things in life that shake us up and we're not expecting it. And, you know, they impact us. They impact our lives. But yet we don't know how to talk about it. And we don't know who we can talk about it with. And, oh, we can't talk about it. And it's like, we can talk about things respectfully. Yep. You know, and yeah, so that's how I got Brandon on my show today. I think
it only took what, like 2 months?
Yeah. I know I've had like, and this is a great example. Like I knew what I was talking about. I kind of went on to tangent and then I'm just like white blank face. Right. And I'm like, oh shoot, I forgot what I was talking about. But that is like that's mental exhaustion, yeah. Right? Like that is mental exhaustion.
We
like
do a lot. I mean,
right. Doing a lot. And I explain these things to people because I'm like, these are the things like when you're feeling them, this is actually what's happening. Like we just need to revert back or, you know, do things that are not taxing. Like when people say like, oh, I got off of work and it wasn't a, you know, a physically hard day, but it was a mentally hard day.
Yeah.
That is what we're talking about.
Yeah, that's one thing that I don't mean to keep going on.
Good.
But that's one thing that I'm trying to learn because, you know, I do construction and my mother does daycare and she'll get off of work and she'll just be like, just done. I don't want to hear nothing. I don't want to hear no voices. I don't want to hear nothing. And it's like, what do you mean? I've been lifting 40-foot ladders all day. Like, I'm like, I can barely walk. She goes, yeah, I can barely talk. Like, I've been listening to kids scream all day.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's a huge difference between the physical exhaustion and the mental exhaustion. Mm-hmm. And I'm starting to learn that a little bit as well with my mental injury, mm-hmm. where, you know, when I've got to think about a lot, it gets tired pretty quick.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, I do really appreciate you making the time and coming on here and doing this because, you know, I personally know a lot of people that, you know, have had injuries and I've responded to a lot of people and that's, you know, when I talk about this, like I know it impacts people.
Yeah.
I know it impacts people and, you know, like I said, you know, my voice is not going to be quieted by this. I had actually, and I think this is what like I said, I'm kind of like spacing out, but what I was going to say was in that video that I really pointed out was that every hour, 90 humans die by suicide. Mm-hmm. 90 humans every hour. That doesn't
around the world.
Around the world, and that's why
not just in a state or like a country, or that's like the whole world.
That is the whole world, and to me, that blows my mind. But it also shows us, right, that this is not just one place. It's not one thing. It's not one variable. It's not one job title. It's not one category. It's not one label. It's none of those. At the end of the day, you know, we are humans and we have a mental state that we need to keep sound. Mm-hmm. And it's hard.
It's not easy.
Oh, I know you're getting exhausted.
No, I'm okay. I know we're probably reaching that time for you to need to shut things down.
You're good. You're good.
I'm not exhausted.
Good. What else would you want to tell people that are listening to get your message out of your experience?
Can you pause the video? This might take me a second to listen.
That's okay. Okay. You're good. Yeah, we can shorten it up.
This might take me a second to think about it. I think I already touched on it. Just keep fighting. Stay positive. Wake up every day like it's a new day. You know? Once again, you know, enjoy the time that you have with your family. Enjoy the time that you have. Because you just don't know when you may not have that time.
Yeah.
And don't look at others. They may be going through struggles and battles and, you know, physical disabilities and stuff. And because I remember the, you know, don't look at those people like there's something wrong with them. I mean, because technically there might be something wrong. But I remember one time in high school, I about lost my crap on someone that was making fun of someone that's got like a mental disability. And it's like, put yourself in their shoes. Mm-hmm. For even 5 minutes. Imagine living like that. Mm-hmm. And then not only that, but imagine being their parents, knowing that they're going to school and dealing with people that are messing with them. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. Just keep your head up. Chin up, smile on your face, smile to other people, because a smile is contagious. Mm-hmm. It's one thing I've noticed with my buddy Jeremy. He comes into work, he's always pretty chipper. A lot of people are coming into work, sup, and he comes in, hey brother, and he's just in a good mood, and then all of a sudden everybody else gets in a good mood. So just spread that positive and happy vibe, and
yeah,
the world will be a lot better place.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thank you, guests. Thank you, listeners. I told you, I've gone from like seminar to podcast, and now that I'm mentally exhausted today. But I appreciate you guys. I appreciate allowing me and my guests to be vulnerable in its most raw state. You guys know that I don't, you know, cut these things out. It is not a flashing, you know, I don't want to do that because I don't want the perception that everything is perfect. There are other podcasts, there are other shows that do that. It's just not me right now. So I appreciate you, you know, allowing us to show our raw states of who we are and sharing stories. So if you want to come on to the podcast, I don't have to be your Uber driver because I'm not doing that right now. But reach out to me on Instagram, reach out to me on my email, my website. All of the information is down below. Get a hold of me. I would love to be able to share your story as well. For that, I hope you have a wonderful day. Bye, guys. Thank you again for listening to another episode of Raw Thoughts Podcast. I'd appreciate it if you could follow, like, subscribe, and share with anybody that you think would be interested in this. You can also head over to my website at rawthoughtspodcast.com and see any other guests that have been on the episodes. You could also go over to Instagram and follow at rawthoughts.podcast. I would really appreciate it, and always send me a message if you're interested in being a guest or any feedback.